Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. This shit just got real, everybody. The delightful and talented, delightfully talented. What am I trying to say? All around nice guy, Bob Schneider, and this is from Lovely Creatures. It's called 40 Dogs.
Well, if I spell it out, if I yell it out, will you hear me when I tell you about what I have to say before it gets too late? It's 90s as I said it'd be, but there's something right about you and me. Something right about you and me.
Bob is once again writing our very own off-the-air podcast theme song. It's on the way. He assures me everything's fine. Going to get to Austin here pretty soon and see him, and hopefully go down to Kentucky here pretty soon.
Oh, that's right.
Good man.
He's got a new album coming out, right?
Yes, he does, in April, called Burden of Proof, bobschneidermusic.com, and that's our Bob Schneider hunk. Thank you, Bob. Hi, welcome to the podcast. This shit just got real. I don't know why I can't talk today.
That's okay.
I've never had a lisp before. That just started.
You're so excited about Wi-Fi.
I am excited about Wi-Fi. I'll get to that in a moment. There's Jess. She's the co-host. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
And there's Jason, the producer.
I can't wait till Jess starts eating something to make everyone
Mr. Jason.
Who emails in and says, love when Jess eats.
Now, what is that?
Do they say that? Or
no,
they
do.
It?
Well, to
a lot
honest,
of us, there's a lot of PSs.
To be honest.
Love it.
Really?
They make requests. You know, last podcast, Chick had a list of people, I think, on Twitter.
Bugle.
Made requests.
Different
it's
snack
still
food they wanted to. Yeah, it's still happening.
Then there was that one asshole.
There was one asshole. Don't eat. You're not even being that cute.
That
which
cute.
You pointed out. You
I
were
was
being
a little cute.
Being
I
little
just
cute.
Wasn't being that cute.
A little cute.
Yeah. What were you eating today?
I found these in the green room, and they're potato skins, the TGI Fridays, cheddar and bacon.
Are they real hard?
They're real bad.
Here, try this. Are they real hard?
Are they real?
You guys are stupid. They're not. I need a little. I'm. I need more
Do you
flavor.
Need a dip.
Look what
yeah,
I got.
A dip.
Look what I found.
Oh. Those are way more better.
Well, you can't go wrong with that.
Doritos.
Straight up Doritos.
The taste that goes crunch.
Red. What?
The taste that goes crunch. Doritos.
Are you gonna do a Jay Leno impression now? What?
Don't worry. We'll make more.
Yeah. Is that what
Remember
he said?
Jay? Yeah. Hey, don't worry. We'll make more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was He just got on the Tonight Show. Do you not remember that?
I vaguely remember it.
Neither
I'm sorry.
Way
I, when I think Doritos, I don't think Jay Leno.
Remember that girl? Remember that
no,
one?
No, I don't think of anything. I think of a triangle cheesy chip.
I don't remember that girl, Allie
I
Landry.
I think of heaven.
Allie Landry.
She was married to...
Tom Landry? I know.
No, she wasn't.
Did she wear the hat, too?
She wore the hat.
I don't even
he
know
liked
the
that.
Fuck
She'd
that
come
is.
To bed. She'd come to bed with nothing in the hat. He'd like that.
Is that what you'd like?
I don't know.
The Tom Landry, he was standing there when what's his name? Oswald got shot, right?
I think that was Tom,
that was
Landry,
Tom Landry
in the famous picture.
In the famous picture.
I thought he played for the Redskins.
No, he coached the Cowboys. How dare you?
But there was a Landry that played for the Redskins.
Oh, LeBron Landry.
Yeah, suck on that.
And his
Who knows
brother's,
the Redskins?
His brother's name is Deron Landry.
You're only
honest. LaRon and Deron.
Listen to her. Who knows the Redskins? Yeah, you're only like 25 years off, okay?
Whatever.
30 maybe. You're so smart.
Because of birth.
You were talking about Wi-Fi, right?
You were talking about Wi-Fi.
So I'm getting Wi-Fi installed. New Wi-Fi installs.
Right. Getting a Wi-Fi
a
boner
days.
Over
I can't,
there.
I can't wait. I didn't get the fastest, though.
Oh.
But I called
but
the number.
That means you'll call in 30 days and get the fastest.
So I called the number, and it was weird. So it was weird. That it was, well, what the heck. I'm getting it from Comcast, and
That
no.
is weird.
No, wow. No. I didn't want to say the brand name, but what the heck. It's a podcast. We're off the air, right? Kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So I call this number, and Brittany answers,
mm-hmm.
because it's like two rings. Hi, can I help you? This is Comcast. This is Brittany. And I go...
It's recorded.
No, I go, hi, Brittany. She goes, hi, how can I help you? Two rings.
What?
And I go, okay, I need Wi-Fi at this address as soon as you can. What's your options? She goes, well, I can do this, this, and this, or I can get you a pretty fast speed for, you know, $40 a month or whatever it is. And I go, oh, okay, well. She goes, all right, now I need your social security number and credit card and all that stuff. So I give that all to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hang up the phone. I start to think. Sadly, this is the world we live in.
You do this all the time,
yeah.
though. Every time you call somebody and it's too easy, he thinks that it was the wrong number.
Yeah, yeah. So it's exactly what I thought. So I hang up and I go, oh my God, I just gave that. She just stole my identity.
So she scammed you. She
yeah.
Took, did she intercepted, back?
Intercepted
did
the call.
Did you get an email or anything?
Hang on. So I'm
I'll punch you.
I'm worrying for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. It's building up. I'm starting to sweat. That deal.
Only like, 10 or 15
yeah.
minutes?
Yeah.
That's good. That's not that long. Good job.
So I call the number back, and the number says, 6 rings, answering machine. We're not here right now. At the tone, leave a message. It was
it
like
didn't even say Comcast?
No. It was like it's a private number. So I call back, and happily, the owner answered, and it was a different guy.
The owner of Comcast answered the phone.
The owner of what Comcast has done is they got rid of some of their storefronts, mm-hmm. and they've franchised it to local people.
Farmed it out, yeah.
They farmed it out to people who just answer in the communities, and they really do a much nicer, quicker, better job. Mm. And
no shit.
Yeah. No, that's their motto. Comcast, it's easy. No shit.
That's a great. I would
do that with Comcast.
I would Comcast there or no. whatever you do.
Yeah, it's a verb. Yeah.
I was very excited about all that.
Well, that's good. So, yeah. That's a great story.
Okay.
I'm glad
that wasn't
you told it.
Bad at all.
No.
Is it email time?
Let's do it.
All right. Have a Dorito and I'll look at these emails. Thanks for downloading the podcast. I can't believe what I'm about to say is true, so don't chew really loud.
You don't have to say it.
See? What is his problem with numbers? He is so upset about not sharing.
You don't have to. I can't.
No, there's no need. That's just bragging. Remember, we don't brag.
That's right. We've had a lot of people download this podcast.
And we love all of you, except for that one guy who...
Except for that one asshole.
Oh, that guy. Jeez. Chick, Jess, Jason, thanks, guys. I'm an accountant.
Oh, my God.
And I work with people who may be the most boring people that ever existed. I work with, it's not me.
No, it's not them.
I am also the youngest person in my office by 20 years. Oh, really? I listen to the other show in the morning and replay the podcast after that and drown out the silence. You have a fantastic podcast. Thanks, guys. Keeps me laughing all day. That's from Meg. Short form, megabyte.
And another theme other people have said is... they want more podcasts or keep them longer because we're only on, you know, maybe once a week for a little over an hour.
And they
want
from
us
their
more
shitty
than
job.
That.
Yeah.
Hold it.
Yeah, it's up to us.
Not that I want to say that I'm the leader, but I'm kind of the leader.
Your name's on it.
Thank you. Right? Mm-hmm. Am I the leader?
Oh, you're,
thanks.
Rise and true, baby.
So he can mention we're thinking about doing 2 podcasts a week.
Right.
And that's mentioned.
He didn't even mention a number, though. That's his thing.
But I can't mention that I'm happy we've had to download over 24 episodes.
He couldn't
episodes.
Do it. He couldn't fucking do it. He couldn't not say anything.
I'm a baby. Hairy baby.
Well, let's let him drive the ship.
Right. All right.
No, I don't want to drive. I just want to be the leader. I don't want anything with...
So I'm at the wheel, and you're telling me where to go.
Sort of. No, she's tapping me on the shoulder, and I'm kind of going...
to... Well, she just told you not to do that.
Yeah, she did. She said lots of stuff recently, that I really don't care for. So. And that brings us to... who wants to be in charge of organizing the live podcast appearance?
We've already been through this.
Not it.
We went through this last week.
Oh, so last night.
Oh, God. ADD.
So last night I'm having dinner with my daughter, having a very nice time. She gets up, goes to the store next door because evidently I'm boring.
You eat slow.
Phone rings and it's, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm working on this email for the live broadcast. I don't want it to come from my email. How did you frame it?
Can you just copy and paste, which I know copy and paste is like a year new to you.
No, it's not. I can
okay,
do copy
years.
And paste.
2 years ago. Give it to me.
Yeah, maybe a year and a half.
You didn't know how to copy and paste.
Okay.
That was the old joke. She'd look at me and go, Chick, this is your iPhone. she
had no idea.
She'd show me something new to do on the phone. Okay, go ahead.
No, what were we talking about?
You sent me
an
email.
I didn't want to send the email from my private email. I wanted to send it from Chick McGee at Chick McGee. McGee.com.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So now, but
so
now.
Why are you telling this
story?
No,
I go that to say this. Jess has her own email now at chickmcgee.com.
God damn it.
Jess at chickmcgee.com.
Why the fuck
would
you do that?
What are you doing?
Why would you? Should we cut that out? Why? Don't you want emails from fans?
Fuck no.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just pretend that they all like me and I feel better. Why would I really want to know their opinion?
See, that goes back to the. All right, you're marking an edit point.
No, he's writing down that I said fuck a bunch.
Venue for live over-the-air podcast is our next email. Hey, folks, I would humbly offer my family room and kitchen to play host to an off-the-air podcast recording. I would promise the following, provided to cast and crew.
You know who does that?
Steve Pultz does that.
Yeah.
He does that all over the country. It's a really good time. Yeah. This is not a bad idea.
Does he do a podcast or he just does a show?
He does a show.
Okay.
He does a show.
Okay.
Here's what we get if we go to his house and kitchen.
So he's providing the rider.
Whoa, mm-hmm. I need to provide the rider. I'm going to need some Doritos.
Well, let's see how.
Chicken Dr. on Pepper. A stick. Chicken on a stick.
You just said meat on a stick.
I did. I like saying meat. Meat. How about some of this meat? Vodka cranberry. Hot wings.
Uh-huh.
Naked wings. Spicy garlic wings. Meatball sandwich. BLT dip. Ooh, I don't know what that is.
That sounds good.
Chips and salsa, water, and other food and drink items upon request. This is from Scott, and Scott lives in Indianapolis. So there you go. We might want to chase that down. You never know.
We'll see.
We're not saying yes.
He lives in Indianapolis?
That's what he says. Mm-hmm.
Probably know him. Between the three of us, I bet we know someone who knows him.
Oh, yeah. It's like 6 degrees for Kevin Bacon. It's 1 degree if you live in Indianapolis. You see
anybody. Oh, it's not that low.
It's 6 degrees of New Pal.
Oh, it's less than two or three.
Wherever you go in Indianapolis, you sit down and you look across the room, wherever you are, restaurant, or if you're standing in a department store or whatever. See that guy over there? Yeah, he's from New Pal. Happens every time.
I rarely run into people.
Really? That you know?
I go to lunch every day outside here, and I never really run into anybody.
Oh, I mean, do. It's every rare. Day. Almost every day, somebody I went to high school with or something.
I have this anti thing. I don't know. People avoiding me. Polarization. I don't know. Go ahead, Chick.
That's not true.
It's a little true. Yeah, I've seen it happen.
No, you have that. He doesn't.
People avoid me?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. You can either pick up a room or you can...
You keep saying that.
You can drop it.
You keep saying that.
That's all true. Read that email.
Hey, Chick, Jess, and Jason, now that I know Jess's voice from the podcast, I think I keep hearing her on a few bits on the Bob and Tom Show. If so, which one? Your loyal listener. Oh, that's Marty Hand.
Oh, Marty Hand.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Marty Hand.
Somebody asked me this the other day. I'm on yesterday, actually. I'm the closer with Greg Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I do one of those.
You're one of the girls trying to pick up Greg after a show.
Mm-hmm. I think so, something like that.
You're on Chick McGee for Congress.
I'm on Chick McGee for Congress. Yeah. Congress with our good friend Jimbo.
Uh-huh.
Jimbo.
Hi,
Jimbo.
And me. I'm barely
You are. That's that. Right. That's
the very
right.
End.
I keep saying...
But you know what? Do you know how old that bit is? That bit's... It's 11 years old,
yeah.
12 years,
10.
10 years old, mm-hmm. 10 years old. Okay.
And I keep saying this and she keeps denying it and I can't
it's
question it.
It's not me.
Man, it sure does sound like you.
Ask Dean. I swear it's not.
I do Charlie Manson Christmas, Manson Thanksgiving.
I think that's her too.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And she plays Lucy pulling the football wave and I stab her for Thanksgiving or Christmas.
That's not me.
As Charles Manson.
Hand to God, that's not me. I also did.
You don't think it's possible?
Do you remember
Cheetos
with Tammy Pascatelli?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you do Cheetos?
You can't play that anymore, though.
We can.
Are you?
Oh, that's true.
Is it possible you could have done that Charlie Brown Lucy bit and forgotten it? Because
it's
done
possible,
a bunch of bits.
But I'm going to stand with no. It's
I've
not
done
me.
A bunch of bits. I have no remember.
But you've done millions. I've done like 10.
I don't know about millions.
There's another big produced bit from over there. You did.
There was one I was in, and then I got cut out, and I didn't know I got cut out until the album came out.
That's a whole nother fucking story. Anyway,
I don't know which one it. Oh, STD Florist.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the clap. Isn't he sweet?
That's sweet.
Like that.
Maybe one of these days we'll play some of these bits because we have them all right here, but not today.
Not today.
No. We have a guest. Let's go.
Okay. Chick, I really enjoy your guys' podcast. Thanks for graciously mentioning my horror book website on your show and even setting up a link with exposure like this. I expect to make tens of dollars. have a great week. This is from Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie last Lindsay.
Yes. Yes. Her husband bought her
a website.
A domain name.
A domain name.
From GoDaddy.
For Christmas from GoDaddy.com. Did you know that GoDaddy is the world's largest provider of web hosting with over 55 million domain name registrations and over 10 million customers?
Shut the front door.
I think you all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
You could set up a website for how much you love snack food and specifically designate an area for your Doritos. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Doritos is like in the middle somewhere. It's not.
What's your favorite snack food?
I don't know. There's so many.
Didn't pop right
I don't
up.
Have a favorite. I could give you like a top five, but I couldn't give you a favorite.
Go to chickmcgee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, and you'll get your new domain name for only $4.95, including a free one-page website, personalized email account, photo album, and more. chickmcgee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, type in McGee, M-C-G-E-E, and it'll all come true for you at GoDaddy. Do it now. Thanks for off the air. This email starts, Chick, Jess, and Jason. I wanted to thank you for giving me something to smile about for the past few weeks. I recently got a new boss who's made my life a living hell. I wear a headset daily, so I have been living on a steady diet of off the air and Bob Schneider. The mixture of great music and laughter has me smiling, even if I have to deal with El Duccio for 9 hours a day. Jess, please keep up the eating because I'm getting to live vicariously through you and get to ignore this diet of mine for a few minutes. I want to put my vote in for buffalo chicken pork rinds for the next podcast. You like your pork rinds?
I love pork rinds, but...
Although they are probably a little white trash, smell like dirty ass crack mixed with Tabasco, but they taste magical.
They do. They smell so...
Oh,
they
you've never
like
been in a worse car.
A closed car when I open a bag,
of pork rinds.
Is that why you don't want to bring them in here? Because you might offend us?
No, you think I care if I offend you guys?
You shook him off as he was saying, but...
Because I just like hot and spicy pork rinds. I don't want buffalo chicken or whatever she just said.
That sounds like hot and spicy.
It's not. It's different. They're totally different.
Totally.
Totally different.
Not even in the same sphere. Okay.
No, they're not.
All right. Taste test coming up.
Hey, Chick, Jess, Jason, not sure what episode it was, but you talked about your Whoopee Chick, which I take to be your favorite comfy blankie or something after re-listening to the bit. Yes, it is my favorite Redskins blanket. We call it my Whoopee. By we, I mean the voices in my head. The reason I had to re-listen was because I shot coffee out my nose when you said the word Whoopee. Well, why is that? In our house, Whoopee is the nice way to say pussy because my wife doesn't like that word. And I refuse to talk to her about her vagina. I'm not a doctor. So.
A Whoopee. But Whoopee is actually from Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
220, 221.
He sweeps it up in the vacuum cleaner.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have to get a new Whoopee. But then everything comes out all right. He shaves. Whoopee? He starts working out.
They call it that. You know what?
Well, think about it. It's something, you know, warm and cuddly.
Warm and cuddly, I guess. But it
likes to curl up next to it.
In college, we called it a meow meow.
What about the Who? I always called it the Who before. Right?
Growing up, I called it the Hoo-ha. Yeah, it was called the Who or
Mooshki.
The Hoo-ha.
So Todd
Mooshki?
Says,
is that it? Really?
Mooshki.
Polish.
No kidding.
For vagina?
That area, yeah.
So, you're not a doctor. Don't say vagina. I pictured you wrapped up in her Whoopee and almost drowned myself with coffee. Just wanted to share.
Oh, nice.
That's from Todd.
It's right. Vagina.
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 Once again, hi. Welcome back to Off the Air, the podcast. Thanks for downloading.
We didn't go anywhere.
Was there a commercial break?
I don't know.
Okay, now's our special guest.
Yay!
It's the one, the only, another member of our family, it feels like. Henry Phillips. Hi, Henry.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Isn't this fun, Henry?
I'm enjoying it.
You're darn right. And we want to mention before that your new movie's out. It's called Punching the Clown. And it's available at Netflix and
yeah, the
sorts
Netflix
places,
thing
right?
just expired, you can see it on Hulu.com, which is
Hulu.
Easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Hulu. That's
as long as you have an internet connection,
infinitely
just,
more easy. Hulu,
yeah,
sure. Or you can
it's
pick it up
there.
On DVD and have your own very copy.
Yeah, you could get it from Amazon, iTunes, just about anywhere. Netflix, whatever.
You're over that.
We did that. You know.
Kind of been
all right,
but if people, I wouldn't mind if people wanted to send Netflix a thing saying, "Hey, reinstate Punching the Clown."
Yeah, what's the deal, dudes?
There you go.
But I don't get any money out of it. Anyway, so who cares?
And it's exciting too because is this still? I don't know how you talk about this sort of thing.
Oh yeah, I'm
having a series at Showtime. Is it in turnaround or?
Well, we're in development.
Development.
Yes.
There you go. Right.
As opposed to pre-development, which means you're not doing anything with
now,
it.
In the movie, there are many quirky characters. Would there
That's
be
correct.
Room for a quirky Chick McGee, possibly? As,
oh, man.
You are shameless.
Your big-time
I think that's doable. No, I mean, I've always said that you've got a great something going on.
That's true.
Well, because
we've worked.
I don't know what.
Yeah,
yeah. That's right.
No, we work together a lot, and you know, just when you're on stage, man, people go crazy.
They seem to like.
And I'm trying
much.
To take notes.
Most
I'm trying to figure out. what you're doing, but it's not really something that I can do. You're not doing anything.
I subscribe to the Bill Hicks theory. When you get up there, you start talking, and when you're done, you leave.
Yeah, and he also said that material is only something you do when you run out of things to say. That's kind of what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do. You don't have material.
No, God, no. I wouldn't be able to remember it if I did.
If we totaled it all up, how much do you have?
Material?
To be on stage, actual material?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
I've got like the woman's purse, maybe, and I don't do that most of the time.
But that's just all you do is pick it up, and then from there,
yeah,
it's whatever
woman's
happens.
Purse. I can remember that. I just pick up a purse and go through it. And sometimes I invite people backstage to watch the show from the wings. That's ideally someone who's alone.
But everything's material. It's just a matter of doing it again. Like even just like in the first 15 minutes of you guys talking, you probably said several things that could be stand-up. Material, if you just kind of phrased it a little bit differently, you know.
I think the
thing with calling and giving the social security number,
yeah,
I mean, that's good,
yeah,
that's true.
Well, we're thinking about doing this live in front of people, so
that would be great.
Scary.
That's a popular. Can I say fuck?
You can say fuck,
I just have
whatever.
Never said fuck in this room. It's just so liberating.
Isn't it liberating? It is. Liberating was made for that.
It's
for
like,
the,
yeah,
saying
it's like
fuck
years.
In a radio studio. Yeah, I know.
That's funny.
Yeah, I know. How long have you been coming on the Bob and Tom Show?
1999. Yeah, I found an old video of when we did Carb Day.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, my gosh.
I have it somewhere on VHS. Somebody sent me, the guy that used to do the videography here in the room. I can't remember his name. Nice guy. Nice old man.
Art Bolo, yeah.
He used to send me videotapes, and so he sent me this, and boy, I looked young. Wow. You never realize how much you're aging until you see stuff like that. And I'm like, that feels like a new part of my life. 99.
And you know the story about how we found you.
Was it Dr. Demento?
Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who, so it's a half story, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure who heard you on Dr. Demento, but they did.
Oh, well, Dr. Demento apparently came in for an interview.
Oh, that's right.
And then
right.
You guys asked him what he's been playing, and then he was nice enough to mention me.
And it was...
He's the greatest, and... In your line of work, it seems like everybody really respects him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You did 17. What's the name of it? She's only 17, or only 16, or no, it's called. Driving.
Oh yeah, the driving.
Driving.
Yeah, she's
years
old.
You know how I?
Yeah, we know.
With Stephen Lynch was on. I said, you know, the prostitute baby on the bus story,
right?
Song.
And, not even close.
Not even close. But he did see prostitutes, and he did.
There was a baby.
Do you know driving?
Sure.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Can you play it?
You want
it?
To do it? Sure.
Yeah. I don't think Jess has ever heard this, or if she has, she might have.
We'll do it. For old time's sake.
For old time's sake. This is the song that we exposed us to Henry Phillips. Henry Phillips on the Bob and Tom Show, and
Henry. For those who don't know Dr. Demento, what can you give a little background?
He had a strictly novelty music show. Mm. That he would play, and he would play novelty music going all the way back to like Spike Jones and Louis Prima and that kind of stuff, up to like Weird Al. Like he discovered, there'd be no Weird Al if it weren't for Dr. Demento.
Right.
And that's when I caught on, like in 1980, I started listening to that show every Sunday night, and it's great. And he still does it. He has an internet broadcast of his show. Is this coming through?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds great.
So here we go. So this is the song that... for some reason, I was like, you know, I was an LA guy. I was never doing the road, and I started getting all these emails from the Midwest from people saying, hey, I like your driving song. I'm like, oh, cool. Didn't know how that was happening. Here I am. Well, I ain't going to a friend's house, and I ain't going to my place of work, and I ain't going to a baseball game or a picture show. I'm just driving in my car. And even though it looks like things ain't going my way, I didn't get promoted, my wife she done left me, and I just got evicted, and I think I'm going bald now, and now all I got is a bottle of booze and this here Thunderbird, and I'll be damned if it's insured. And I'm not looking at the stop signs, and I'm not looking at the traffic lights, and I'm not looking at the children on the crosswalk. I'm just driving in my car, and I'm just sipping on my whiskey. and I'm just swallowing some Valium. I'm not worried about the side effects from the antidepressants. I'm just driving in my car. How do you do, hitchhiking mama? Get in the car and drag a ride with me. She says, get your damn hands off of me. I say, don't worry, ma'am, I'm a friend, you see, and we're just driving in my car. Now the two of us are tearing up the highway with no registration. I ain't got no headlights, so can't see a damn thing. What the hell was that now? Well, I hope it wasn't human. Now I'm getting heat from this girl that I just picked up off the road. She's only 15 years old.
There you go.
She's only 15 years old. How do you do, Mr. Policeman? How's life treating you on the streets today? He says, pull over, son, walk a straight line. I say, no, thank you, sir, I'm doing fine. I'm just driving in my car. What's them red lights behind me flashing? What's that there chopper up above? Sign says checkpoint at the county line. I say, no, thank you, folks, I'm doing fine. I'm just driving in my car. I'm just driving in my car. Oh, I'm just driving in my car. She's only 15 years old. And I'm just driving in my car.
Henry Phillips.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Was that close to the first song you wrote? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, there was the very first one was What Do You Want Me to Do About It? Where I would talk about all these issues that were big back in those days.
What
like,
do you want to do? What
like
do you
the Middle East and unemployment and the environment.
Not like now.
Yeah. Well, but what's great about it is I've never really had to go back and update the song. It's like
that's
still
true.
Same problems that we've always
that's
had.
That's a pretty good first song there. I mean.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But you started, didn't you? Because we've discussed this before on the podcast. I don't know who we were talking to.
We were talking to.
It might have been Stephen, right?
It was Stephen Lynch, and yeah. We were talking about, he says he has the ability to write some really pretty songs.
Yeah.
But then he's like, nobody wants to hear a pretty song, you know?
Well,
same way with you. Right? Didn't you write one of your songs for a girl and
oh, yeah.
the lyrics?
No, all my songs were real songs at one point, and you know. But I agree with him. It's like nobody wants to hear that garbage.
Right.
But
wasn't She's Just a Bitch Anyway?
Yeah,
that was actually
that was a song called That Way, and it went something like and like the black way. And like the placid water flows all the way to the ocean shore, I can be with you that way.
Yeah.
But the version everyone knows is...
and even though she lives in the richest country in the world, somehow she's a bitch anyway.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole goal was always to try to take one of those old melodies and take a funny idea and put it to that, because like a melody that was written to be sincere comes off as a more realistic. And that's where a lot of the humor comes from.
Oh,
like,
that's a well, Stephen Lynch had talked about that. He's like, this music is... I asked, I said, your music is beautiful, but that you have behind the...
Oh, and he's got a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, that's kind of the key of it. I mean, you can't, you know, ding 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 wah, 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 you know, and people
well, yeah,
aren't,
because
it's not nearly as...
It wouldn't
as,
sound, yeah. like, you got to really sound like you're trying. And that's what I think a lot of, like when you watch those Fruit of the Loom ads, I think those are really funny. Because it looks like the guy always really does commit, you know,
right.
to whatever they're doing. A friend of mine is actually... one of the guys, he plays like the grapes or something in that. But he said they did one that was an imitation of, I think, like a Coldplay video or something like that,
oh,
where
they
shot it backwards, and then they, like, and the lead singer had to learn all the lyrics phonetically backwards to do the same method or whatever.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
But all the other guys just stood there. But it's like, they got the same money, so
oh,
it's like...
Okay.
Boy, that sucks for that one guy. Wait, I got to learn how to sing a song phonetically backwards, and these guys just have to stand there, and they get the same money. That's messed up. I don't know where it would maybe go into that. But But you know, like the kitchen videos that I've been doing, it occurred to me recently, I started doing those for the same reason I started doing the music. It's like I started seeing all these people doing this ridiculous thing, trying to be serious with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to kind of do my own version, but mess it up somehow and make it awful. But I don't know.
And that's online. Yeah. Henry's Kitchen.
Henry's
videos.
Kitchen, yeah.
Henry's Kitchen.
It's the same way YouTube. On Instagram. People always take these really pretty pictures.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, I don't know. It's almost like I want to find like a sex toy or something
to
put in the background.
That's a good idea.
But some of these, I'm really proud of these meals that I actually put together, and they look really good, especially with, you know, a different vignette or whatever over it. But
now, you tweeted about one of your meals not going well. What was that one? What'd you do? How'd you
I tried to make my own bread, gluten-free bread.
I've done that.
Yeah, it was bad.
I've seen a picture of the gluten-free bread.
Yeah, I did take a picture of it.
Well,
there wasn't
the dough is like a different consistency.
It's completely different.
I had the same problem.
It was horrible.
You guys leave us alone for a little bit. We're going to talk gluten-free bacon.
See, I don't know when you're messing with me or not. Did you actually try to bake your own bread?
I tried to make gluten-free pizza.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'm allergic to wheat, but I think some people have sensitivities to it. So I was like, well, who knows? Maybe my whole life's worth of problems is because I've been eating gluten. I thought I'd make, and I also have a lot of time on my hands. So I thought, I'm going to make gluten-free pizza, and I'm going to do a video of it too.
You did?
I'm going to. That's going to be my next one. It'll be Henry's 4th of July gluten-free pizza pie. Vegan gluten-free chicken pizza pie. But anyway, yeah, it's a different consistency. It was a mess.
Totally different.
It's really difficult.
Hmm.
It's extremely hard.
The gluten-free wasn't as bad as the whole wheat. I really fucked up the whole wheat. I mean, like it wasn't bad in the middle. It was like where does Greg like to eat all the time?
Warren?
Cheesecake
Factory.
Everybody knows where Greg Warren likes to eat cheesecake.
But you know that wheat bread that they have, if you didn't cook it all the way through and it was like a big dough ball, that's what it turned out to be. So it wasn't that bad.
Oh, that bread they have,
nobody could eat.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's really good. But it was like that. And then
see, that makes me laugh.
And then what else did
I want to start, like, I want to go to like one of those fairs or something and have my own little booth where I'm giving away my gluten-free bread and
yes.
have people just be like, this is garbage.
It's horrible.
And you explain,
it doesn't smell
really good
either. Yeah. It smells horrible.
Actually offended.
So what does the gluten do? What benefit is the gluten? Obviously, it makes it a better, much better bread.
Makes good bread.
Is that the only thing that's missing from it is the gluten?
It's something to do with the consistency of it, too. Like
it does. It changes everything. Like it's
you're supposed
like
to
it's
put
really
xanthan
dense.
Gum.
Yes, that you can put arrowroot powder in it. That helps too. It's just there's so many different ways to fuck it up, really, and it's horrible. And then which makes it perfect. And then I tried to make like a red sauce. I can't even remember how it started because I ended up trying to fix it. Oh, like a vodka sauce. You know how it's like an orange color kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to make it from scratch, and it was just a fucking mess. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Henry, do you consider yourself a pretty good cook in general?
Nah. I try. But you know what? I got to give it up for people that can cook because it's like, it really is hard. It's one of the hardest things. I know there's a lot of people that were in World War II, and they think that was hard. I had to wrestle a shark or whatever.
Right.
But cooking.
I don't know
come
if
on.
They had to wrestle sharks in World War II. Maybe they did. Some did.
I think that's what started.
But cooking is very hard, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all the girlfriends that I've ever had have always made fun of me every time I tried to cook. And that's where I started doing that. Because if you're a comedian, you're like, well, what do I do that makes people laugh? Well, apparently cooking. So, but yeah, I mean, you have, like, I have a combination of either taking stuff out of the oven too early or leaving it in there too long. Like, you have to really be good to know exactly when to take it out.
Or be able to know when to tell time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the timer.
Yeah, but see, every time
is
different.
I see you get it preoccupied. Every time is different. And you get preoccupied with things, I would imagine. You put it in the oven and then you go, okay, now.
Yeah.
Now
well, especially
what can
if there's
I do?
A girl there.
Oh,
you're
sure.
preoccupied.
Well, and I don't know how people get everything so it's all ready at the same time.
Because
if
impossible.
My rice is ready, then I'll take that out. But that's going to be cold by the time the chicken's ready. So it's just, again, it's a mess.
It is a mess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have incredible streaks where everything's really really good for a couple of months, and now I'm in an incredible bad streak. Everything has been horrible. And then I tried to make my own face wash and stuff last week. And
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, you were going to make some sort of lotion for...
I do. I have some. I have some in the car.
Did that make it okay? Or?
It's okay. I mean, don't, like, don't touch anything that you don't want to stain. You probably should.
Oh, it does stain?
It's, well, because it's oil-based. No, okay. I mean, like, your clothes. You want to wait.
How many, if I sold Henry's homemade facial lotion, I wonder how many people would buy that at my shows. No, you just take it and you rub it on your face.
But don't let it touch your clothes.
What's in it? Well, that's not important.
Where are you guys going?
That's not important.
Boy, these things aren't selling for shit. I'm going to go back to the CDs.
How much? Yeah, have you ever had any interesting merch?
Other than just CDs.
Okay, no shirts or anything?
No, I'm trying to think. One time, my buddy and I, Brendan Walsh and I, tried to sell cigarettes after a show in Seattle.
Brendan Walsh.
Sadly, we made more money selling cigarettes after the show, because we both ran out of CDs or whatever. He doesn't have a CD, I don't know, but...
You remember Brendan.
He hit the bricks like a mug.
Oh, yeah, it's great. But
Come up on stage? We don't have anything else, but we'll sell our cigarettes.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it ahead of time, and people were like
a dollar a cigarette. I mean, would you sell?
I think we sold them for like $10
for a cigarette.
No.
We'd sell a whole pack.
Okay,
I think it was illegal. So let's stop talking about it.
I think on those cartons it says not for resale.
Not for resale.
Oh man, well we missed that.
It's America.
We were too busy reading
anything.
The health warnings on there. They don't say anything about the selling of it.
Where did Where did you grow up? I forget. Is it New York City?
Well, I was born in New York City. We lived there till I was 12. Well, we moved to Englewood, New Jersey for a little bit in between. Then I went to Los Angeles, and I've been in LA ever since I was in high school.
And your dad? Bill Wiley.
Bill Wiley. He did a lot of acting back in those days. TV. You could look him up. Wiley.
And was in Happy Days, right?
No, he was in...
am I thinking Happy
he did, Days? He did a famous episode of Taxi.
I thought he was Ralph Mouth.
No, that guy... I think that guy's...
Donnie Most.
That's right.
You're right. I'm sorry.
And
he was in Taxi?
Yeah, he was in a famous episode of Taxi where they all lose their jobs and Elaine starts working for him and he's her boss. And then they loved him so much they had him on a Cheers. He was originally supposed to play the coach on Cheers.
Really?
Yeah, this is one of these sad stories, but he...
And they picked Nicholas Colasanto.
It was a pilot, and it wasn't completely in the bag yet, but it was, in retrospect, it looks like they were, because they eventually put him in everything that they did. They made a series around him later called All Is Forgiven that only went like one season, but he got the role to be the bad guy in Porky's 2, so he took that gig, that one's, oof. One of the guys just killed himself a year ago, which it's horrible that what comics will laugh
too?
At, but he was a friend of ours. Yeah.
Oh.
But just saying how that whole thing worked out.
Porky's just, that was probably.
Yeah. It's sad. Actually, the director was a good friend of my dad's too, Bob Clark, who died in a car accident a few years ago.
Who directed Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And Baby Geniuses. He gave my dad a part in that, too. And,
your dad's in Baby Geniuses?
Yeah, he's got a part where he tries to kidnap a kid in the bathroom.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
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 You love Baby Geniuses, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah. You introduced me to it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
But you were talking about these customer service calls. I just had that happen. Yesterday, actually, I was calling Wells Fargo, and the guy asked me for my whole Social Security number, and I gave it to him. And then he's asking for everything. Well, what's your last transaction? What's your username that you used to log in on the internet? And I'm going, all right, this is too much.
What's your username?
Tell me something that you would only know. And then I called like a couple hours later.
Didn't you just sit around and go, oh gosh, what just happened?
Yeah. I called a couple hours later and then the lady was like, okay, what's the last four digits of your social?
Right.
Well, that's interesting because the other guy needed the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
I don't mind the last four digits.
All right.
That's nothing. It's like just the tip.
Yeah.
And that's there the reason go. They do it is so that individual isn't stealing your stuff.
Yeah, they could even say, give me the middle two digits. Yeah. Well, here's the best.
Give me the middle two and the last one.
The best conversation I ever had was with Sprint, because I had lost my phone charger. It was a rookie maneuver back when I was a rookie road comic.
Rookie.
I left the phone charger in the hotel room, and then I went back to L.A. and I bought one, and it was like $40.
Right.
And I called Sprint and I said, yeah, I'm curious. I just bought one of these phone chargers. They're $40, but it's a little hunk of junk made out of plastic. Why is it $40? And the girl says,
can I have the last four numbers of all? Yeah, yeah. Sorry, though.
She goes, I don't know, sir. I really don't. And I go, okay. And then she goes, okay, well, have I answered all your questions? And I said, no.
No.
No, didn't. You remember I asked you why they're so expensive, and you said you didn't know. And she goes, yeah, that's right, I don't know. Okay, well, have I answered all your questions
yeah,
today?
Yeah, they have to ask you that.
And I said, no. And then I realized, yeah, they probably get fired if they don't end every conversation by saying, have I answered? Yeah. And I was like going back and forth. Well, have I answered? No. And then I thought, I wonder what happened. How long we can keep this going? Like, maybe she's going to be like, maybe they have some panic button. I'm in a loop. I can't get out of the loop. Somebody help me. We're in a loop that's going to go forever. I got to go to lunch.
I just had that happen. I tried to go, tried to call to get a dryer fixed.
Oh,
set
yeah?
up the appointment. And everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that they, not only the day, but in the middle of the time they were supposed to come fix the dryer, they called me and go, yeah, our technician's not going to be able to make it out there today.
Hmm.
This was yesterday or Monday.
It was Monday.
What's today?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. And I go, you're calling me 2 hours into the,
that's lame.
A 4 hour window that you can't, what?
Yeah. And we're going to go ahead and reschedule for next Wednesday.
No. So then, no, then they go, well, you have to call back and reschedule.
What?
Yeah. So I had to call back and reschedule the whole thing.
You can't call somebody else at this point?
No, it's under warranty. And we have, I have kind of a history with this. I feel bad if I go somewhere else. So.
Well, but they're screwing you though.
Yeah. A little bit.
I love the other one that was great was the guy at the gas company. Like when I wanted to turn on my gas or something like that, they said, oh, we'll be there from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I'm going, oh, I mean, thank goodness I don't have a day job.
Right.
But I'm like, what do people do? So I'm just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then at like 8:30 p.m., the guy shows up and I'm like, yeah, so you couldn't have. Oh, and I remember calling saying, so can they give me any idea? I mean, we have cell phones now, you know?
Right.
And they're like, well, when we're responding to emergencies, you know, there's people that have, you know, smell gas or whatever. There's a lot of, you know.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. And then cut to a couple months later, I didn't pay my bill. It's something I have to say in order to tell this story. But man, there was a guy who showed up to my door at like 7 in the morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Hey, how's it going? You didn't pay your bill. You can pay me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what you're doing. That's when you get up early. And, you know, it's when you're collecting money. But, you know, if somebody needs a service, forget it.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Well, probably not Jason, but...
Early on, there was some tight...
Yeah, that's a good question. Have you ever had a utility disconnected,
no,
Jason?
No, I haven't.
Really?
No. Mm.
Right. Well,
I remember having just enough pennies in the bank account to pay it.
Right.
That was my friend Tig. Do you guys know Tig?
Tig Notaro?
Yeah, Tig Notaro. So she, her car had broken down, and she crashed at my place one time, and she still makes fun of me to this day about this, but it was when my... And I have to admit that my power was out.
So we got gas and electric so far. Okay.
Yeah. So I was terrible with a lot of things. I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I was all of a sudden she's sitting there like watching TV or something. I was in the bathroom and all the lights and the TV, everything go out like in midday, you know. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I go out and I open my front door. And there's a bunch of people gathered in my little courtyard. And I go, hey, guys, is your power out? And they were like, no. Did you pay your bill? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably it. And then I shut the door, and I turned around, and Tig is sitting on my couch just laughing her ass off. Like, did you think that maybe they were all there talking about the power? Oh, God.
That's funny.
You didn't see a van's... driving off after they just did. Oh, and maybe no. They do it at some central switch, I guess.
Oh, and that was funny too, because I called and I said, well, I need to get it turned back on. And then they said, all right, well, and you know, I'm a traveling guy, so I might have been here for all I know, but they were like, well, you have to be in the house when we turn it on. And I go, well, why is that? Why can't you just turn it on? And they go, well, in case there's like, you know, an incident, like an explosion. Oh, you want me to be in the apartment if there's an explosion? Fuck you. You know? So I don't know what that's for. I guess
that's weird.
Yeah, they're like, well, you can handle it if you're in there. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be anywhere near it. Now I purposely don't want to be there when you turn it on.
And you weren't concerned about an explosion when you turned it off. What if something went wrong when you turned it off?
Then they were like, ah, fuck them. Yeah.
Click. Comes home and it's off.
Yeah.
What's your what would be your dream gig? Like, who would you play with? I mean, who are the comedians you go out and see? I mean, you mentioned Brendan, of course.
Oh, that I watch. Well, Louis C.K. has always been one of my all time favorites, and Doug Stanhope and I are really good friends. But I just did 38 cities with him in Britain last week.
Oh my gosh.
And man, that was fun. Just off stage and watching him on stage was fantastic. But I guess that the term comic is getting a little tired. But he's a guy who makes me laugh. I don't know that he's going to make everybody laugh because it's very dark, and a lot of it assumes that you've already been down a certain path in your life. And you're ready to laugh at things that are, you know. There were some moments out there that I was just like, man, thank God there's somebody saying this awful thing that I've been thinking that I don't have the balls to talk about.
So was 30-some dates just in...
38 cities in England and Scotland.
Okay, wow.
About
so
nine...
you covered it all, huh?
Yeah, we had a tour bus for all of Scotland, and there was one show that Doug did. He started drinking at about 10 in the morning. We had all been drinking the night before in Glasgow, and we were all hungover the next morning, and Doug was actually pretty sober for that one, and then he started drinking at like 10 in the morning. We're on the tour bus, and we're just sitting there in the parking lot for this show in Inverness, Scotland, and then he asked his manager, he's like, is this one that we really care about? And Doug's manager was like, well, in all honesty, I don't think we're ever coming back here. And he's like, okay, great. And he just continued to drink. And then that was the one that, if you are a Doug Stanhope fan, you would have been like, that's the show that you wanted to see.
Right.
But man, people were walking out in droves because it was so over the top.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when they walk.
Oh, man. They were walking.
Is that a show? Were you into the show with him when he made people walk?
I was in South Bend.
That's the one I recall.
The campus of Notre Dame. And he looks at me before he goes on stage, and I'm the host. And he looks at me before, and he goes, I don't know who's on stage when he was telling me this, but he goes, I'm going to do the abortion hump tonight. And I go, Dougie? and he saw the look in my eye, and he goes, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, and he went on, and it was 35, and it's funny, and it's relevant, and it's, but...
probably not there.
You know, good taste and whatever, but that's what but I was going to say, about 9 years ago, 10 years ago, Doug and I worked in somewhere in Wisconsin, the Alpine Comedy Club, or some...
Appleton?
Could have been Appleton, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And... we're standing backstage, and his ex-wife at the time, who was a lawyer, was...
Betsy.
Betsy was the feature.
Oh, yeah.
And then Doug headlined, and we're standing backstage, and I just introduced Betsy, and he comes over and he goes, have you ever done mushrooms? And I go, no. And he goes, okay, we're going to do mushrooms tonight. So then about 10 minutes later, he comes back and he goes, you're pretty far from home. I can't have you doing mushrooms. I can't even have you doing mushrooms in here when you're this far from home. You're driving, right? I can't have you do that.
Yeah, that's
like
a big commitment.
That's like an 8 or 10 hour thing. You can't be that. I go, but by then I kind of like psyched myself, okay, I'm doing mushrooms tonight. But then
a guy who's never smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's probably not.
I've only done it once. And it's a night. you know.
I watched my brother do it, and that's about all I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're on the road with Doug, I mean, does he turn it off? Do you turn off your kind of Henry a little bit? And can he actually have a conversation?
Oh,
with
yeah,
him,
yeah. No, well, we've been friends a long time. I met him probably about 96, just hanging out at the mm-hmm. Improv, and then we were just drinking buddies for like years. Like, mm-hmm. I always say that L.A. became fun for me when I met him, because mm-hmm. all of a sudden mm-hmm. I was going into these kind of like, the first time I meet the guy, he goes, here's my ATM card. Go get us a couple $100 and let's just get a bunch of booze and
yeah,
get some girls over to my place and drink. And I'm just going, you have a couple $100. Who has a couple $100? I've never met anybody in LA who has a couple $100.
Laying around, yeah.
But yeah, man, we had a lot of fun. So this trip was a lot of, you know, just great old time.
Have you seen
the
episode of Louis' show with Doug in it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, he's
it's natural.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
he was fantastic. Great in that. And I was on Pinterest the other day, and there is, and I don't know if this is a Doug Stanhope quote or if they just put this, but I found him and I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing on Pinterest?
What's the quote?
Why would you die for someone's sins? Your sins are the only thing interesting about you, you dreary, bleak motherfucker.
That's Dougie.
Oh, I would say that's Doug. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, but how is this on Pinterest, like next to my knitting pattern, you know? Like,
that's hilarious.
Pinterest going edgy.
And my chicken Marcella, you know, it's just like, this is crazy. And it's just funny to me that I found him on here.
So that's great.
Is he that genuine? I mean, is that his full-on philosophy on life, or is he deep down a little, sad?
Oh, no,
and depressed?
No.
Is what you see is what you get with him?
Yeah, no, I think if he talks about it on stage, that's what's going on, mm-hmm. you know. And but
he's
I tell
sweet,
you, man,
he's
he
a
loves
sweet guy. I mean,
yeah,
I
he's
know
one
that.
Of the one of the most polite, nice, mm-hmm. nice guys yeah. you'll ever meet. And then he's also he loves to laugh. You know, mm-hmm. he just mm-hmm. loves comedy. Like any, he was telling me bits from, like, you know, 80s comics that are, you know, talking about the, you know, how much, you know, how inexpensive salt is, or, you know, just stuff like whatever, and he's laughing right. his ass off about right. it, you know. But it's like,
this is the guy who shaved
this guy his, loves comedy
shaved yeah. his head in the well, it looked like Tom Griswold when
yeah, he shaved it backwards.
He shaved it backwards,
of, yeah.
and just for the, like, the look on your face when you saw him,
right.
yeah. and the laugh that he'd give you.
Why
yeah.
not?
He sort of looked yeah. like Clint Howard, didn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. A little bit. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me. Pat Dixon is that way. He gets a bad rap from a lot of people, but he is genuinely one of the nicest.
Oh, he's so great.
Ever, yeah.
Love Pat.
Really nice.
Yeah, he's so nice. And
but, for a girl to say that,
right.
How he presents himself, it's hard to believe, but it's the truth.
I met him at a club in Bloomington, and backstage, Chick introduced me, and he was like, it's so nice to meet you, and just, you know, and conversed, and
yep.
was really engaging, and Chick's like, okay, you ready to watch this?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God.
And then you'll see, and then you'll meet somebody who on stage is this nice guy.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Who's clean and all that other stuff, and then they're a dick.
Yeah, totally.
And you talk to them afterward. They're like
eight
a cocky,
names
smug.
I'm not saying right now.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Drew and I were just talking about one, you know, and then it was just like, you know, it's just smug,
mm-hmm.
cocky,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, yeah, I wonder if there's something where people get it all out of their system when they're on stage,
right?
And then, you're kind of a dick on stage sometimes.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and you're being very friendly. And
now you're a nice guy. What's going on?
Yeah, but no, I wonder if some people get it out when they're up there.
Yeah.
And then afterward, it's like, hey, how's it going? Yeah,
remember the Andy Griffith episode where the couple was, they were like fighting constantly at mm-hmm. the house, and it was a domestic. Andy had to go over and mm-hmm. break them up. Mm-hmm. And so he made it his goal to try to get them to get along.
Yeah.
But they were the nicest people to everybody else, mm-hmm. but they would fight like cats and dogs mm-hmm. when Andy would leave and he'd have to come back. Sure enough, he finally got them to get along in the house, mm-hmm. and then they were mean as snakes to everybody else.
Right. Yeah, it's like... Yeah,
that's Andy Griffith.
Yeah, no, I love that. Loved Andy Griffith.
Henry, would you say offstage, do people have any misconceptions about you?
There's no way.
The biggest problem I have is that people always think I'm joking even when I'm not.
Oh.
Because they're just thinking.
Yeah, your voice, the pitch of your voice and stuff doesn't change very much, does it?
Yeah, I mean, that happened even when we were, you know, it happens all the time where I'll just ask a question like, so are we going to the hotel now.
And then, everybody starts laughing.
And everybody just starts laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really did want to know if we're going to the hotel.
Yeah.
But whatever.
We got a couple of questions here on Twitter for you, Henry.
All right.
This guy just wants you to get more cooking videos on YouTube.
I'm doing the lost episodes now. I've got
really.
I've got three of them that I did last year, and I'm going to do more. Yeah.
Henry, have you ever written a song, then decided that, no, I can't do this. It's even too over the top for me?
Yeah. That has. Yeah, it definitely has happened.
What was the content? Do you remember?
AIDS.
Okay.
I have a song about AIDS.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Which is a song that I stand behind the humor of it. It's just that you don't want to have to explain it.
Yeah.
By the way, this is going to sound like the most wrong thing you've ever heard, but if you give me a chance, I'll explain
right.
why
it
comes from a genuine place of
right.
humor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like to do it because whatever, people do have that, and you don't want to make
now,
it look like you're
Henry's one of the best guitar players out there as far hands down, period, but especially among the comedians. And someone wants to know, how long have you played the guitar and what got you started?
8 years old, I started playing.
Wow.
I saw Elvis, some old footage of Elvis singing, "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog." And I just like that whole...
Okay, that sounded funny.
I don't know
me,
if it was
sorry.
In a movie, but he would stand there with the guitar, mm-hmm. and who knows
yeah.
if he was even playing
right.
or whatever, but just that whole image was cool. And so my parents bought me a guitar when I was 8. I started taking lessons, gave it up, but then in the early 80s when I started hearing like Ozzy's first album, I was into Black Sabbath a little bit, and then when Ozzy came out with his first album,
was that the Crazy
Randy
Train
Rhodes,
or,
yeah,
yeah, Randy
yeah.
Rhodes was insane, yeah.
Blizzard of Oz, and then I was just like, and Van Halen, all that stuff mm-hmm. was coming out, and I was living in L.A., and then I got a guitar, an electric guitar, and I already knew a little bit from back when I had it when I was 8,
mm-hmm.
so I had a little bit of a head start, and then I was just addicted, and I'd mm-hmm. play like 4 hours every day,
mm-hmm.
constantly.
Yeah. Who's the better poker player, you or Drew Hastings?
I'm terrible. I'm like the worst.
I bet you.
Because I'm just too impatient. It's like, if I were going to play correctly, I would have to just sit there and wait for a good hand. But I'm just like, no, I want to gamble.
Yeah.
Drew, it's been a long time since I've played with Drew, but I want to say that he's not that good either.
No, he's not that good. I
he
just played
on
with
a
him
presentation
probably.
Yeah,
like,
the bluff.
Really
yeah,
probably
the
about
bluff.
A month ago, and he didn't lose as badly as I did, but he
is funny.
Up,
not to name drop.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna name drop.
Do it.
We used to play. Drew and I used to play in a game for years in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, Jon Favreau was at one of the games.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And John Favreau.
Didn't Bob Odenkirk play there?
His wife used to play with us. Yeah. I didn't. Oh, yeah. I think. I don't know
well,
if Bob ever played.
Drew,
we played. Yeah, we played at Bob's place one time, but his wife used to play with us. I don't know if Bob was much of a player. Mm-hmm. He was more out making a lot of money. But John Favreau, who directed Iron Man and Elf and mm-hmm. Swingers and all mm-hmm. these great movies. And but. We used to laugh so hard, and Drew was one of the big ones who would just make everybody laugh. He was so funny at poker.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool that Jon Favreau said, "Man, I got to say, this is some of the funniest poker-related humor I've ever seen," which was that meant a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Drew would just do the things where he'd accidentally drop one of his aces, quote. Accidentally, but he would do it. Oh my God! How did that happen?
He did yeah. that too. He did that like a couple months ago.
It's like a go-to move that
yeah.
he does.
Yeah.
But he would have so many. Yeah. When we played with Roger Rittenhouse, who has a hook for his arm. I don't know if you know Roger.
Are you being serious?
Oh yeah, and he's one of my favorite comedians ever. He's a fantastic comic, Denver guy. But
are there people who think the hook's a bit?
Yeah, he addresses it right in the
okay,
beginning.
Good.
He says, yeah, I went to the petting zoo, llama my ass. he's look up Roger Rittenhouse, he's great, but he was playing with us one time and somebody spilled a Coke or something like that. And everybody was like, oh, you idiot. And then Drew goes, oh no, now Roger's hand's going to rust.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Drew always, yeah, he's freaking hilarious.
Well,
but I don't know how good he is.
I want to verify a story that Chick tells about going through a drive-through.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That absolutely happened. Yeah.
Well, in my defense, I want to say
that was a bad morning.
This
though.
Was back when I was just kind of like getting into the fun of being on the road and being, I mean, that was pretty early
on.
I mean, I mentioned that 99 was when I first started doing the show here, and that was about the first year I was doing comedy on the road. It might have even been, just like at the end of 99, but then we did those gigs like 2001 or 2002.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Maybe 2001, and we did like Wichita, and I was like a kid in a candy store. I'm going, this is great. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And I had heard myths about, and I don't know if they were myths, but about places, well, like in Louisiana and Texas or something, where they had like drive-through daiquiri places.
See, now this is what makes this story funny, because he was genuinely being kind of sincere when he pulled up. And
I really wanted a drink. I was just like, man, I want a drink. Wait, was I driving?
You were driving.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
I was in the back seat. But,
this was one of these things. So instead of saying, hey, can I get a drink? I wanted to make sure that they had a liquor license. So,
but this is for breakfast, right?
I think, it was in the morning.
Quarter to 11, maybe
something like that.
But we pull up to Wendy's, and the lady at Wendy's goes, hi, can I take your order? And Henry says,
well, I was like, hey, do you guys have a liquor license? And she just didn't know what I was talking about.
It wasn't one of those times where she just looked at you and laughed.
No, well, this was, I guess I probably asked when I was talking to the machine, maybe. Or
the
box.
Okay, yeah.
But
they were probably laughing inside.
I probably would have laughed if I heard you say it. Did you laugh, or was it a bad morning?
Oh, I laughed. It was a bad morning, but I laughed anyway.
Oh, were you guys all hungover?
Oh, gosh.
that night.
I think that might have been the night. I forget where we were, but we were backstage.
Wichita and Springfield.
And it had one of these like VFWs in the building.
Wait, what's VFW?
It's a Veteran of Foreign Wars Club.
Oh,
yeah. There's all these guys sitting around a table, and they, you know, all they talked about during the show, you got to come over to the bar after the show. You got to come. We've got a bar right upstairs. It's a private club. You won't be bothered by all this stuff. So Drew's like, well, I'll do that. So we're sitting at the table, and we were way in to the evening, and the bartender or the club director or whatever they called him, brought me over a bottle of vodka, and it was unopened, but he sat it right in the middle of this table. And I said, when that bottle breaks, I've got to leave. And I don't know why I said it to this day, but sure enough, somebody came over and was drunk and started, hey, can I, what's Bob and Tom really like? What's going on? And bumped the table and knocked the vodka into the floor, and it just went everywhere. And I said,
wow.
That's it. Good night. And I
good for you, because that's usually when I start.
Yeah, as soon as a bottle's broken,
I'm like, well, it's
right
a party now.
Yeah, but you weren't there. Maybe that wasn't the same trip.
Well, no, I know. It might have been. I remember one of those nights. It might have been Wichita. I was at the bar. You guys had retired, I think. And there was a guy at the bar who was 75, who was a swinger.
No.
I think he was 75 or maybe 70. But he looked a lot younger. But he told me, he goes, no, I'm 70. And I go, well, what's your secret? And he goes, you know what my secret is? A whole lot of fucking.
All right, sir.
And I'm like, well, how do you do that? I would like to do that. But yeah, the guy started telling me, look, I'm here. I'm waiting for a young lady to show up. If that doesn't work out, you can go back to my place and fuck my wife.
His wife
was like 50 or something like that. And I was like, this all sounds very adventurous and sexy, but it didn't wind up. None of it wound up happening.
Not even the girl came for him?
No, the girl stood him up for some reason. A young lady stood up a 70-year-old swinger.
What?
They'd just been talking to.
But I don't know why he wanted me to have sex with his wife. I'm thinking maybe that was some way that he could lure me back there to murder me.
Possibly.
Or he just wouldn't like to watch it, maybe.
Yeah, that's a big thing, isn't it? Watching.
For I guess people, so. Yeah.
Bring a stranger over and watch them.
Oh, that's probably a whole other aspect,
Maybe when you're an older guy, like a 70-year-old. I don't know.
Maybe you just wanted to live vicariously through
I just know Fred Willard had that issue.
Oh, that's true.
Of what?
The whole theater thing, which...
You like to go into a public
big
theater.
Big deal.
Which is great. You know, I don't know
why it's a big deal.
My dad told me that, when you get... He's 84, but he says that, your libido... changes or
supposed to,
things
yeah.
happen.
Yeah, so
know?
When it strikes.
His theory was that maybe he lived in a very strict environment, that maybe Fred Willard has a strict wife or something. He doesn't let him watch porn.
Maybe so.
Because otherwise, why would you be? Why would you ever do
theater nowadays? Sure,
but who knows? None of, not for us to judge. I say.
Something I wanted to ask you is kind of an odd little question: is what do you think? Because of all the comedians we have come in, you're the one that other comedians have an impression of you.
Yeah.
What do you think about, you know, obviously, and a lot of those guys are your friends.
It's chronic sinusitis. It's from excess mucus buildup that lands on my throat and then causes a raspy voice that people like to make fun of, even though I'll probably die younger than everybody. No. Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry,
I guess I just have a voice that's easy to imitate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe not easy. Yeah.
Okay, well, yours is the worst. Yours is the worst.
It's real breathy when you do it.
Yeah. Mike McCray does the best, I think.
McCray's pretty good.
Warren thinks he can, but he can't.
I've never heard him do it.
Fuck Warren. First of all, let me say that right now. I want to get that out on the podcast. I think you agree. And
I love Greg. It's fun. When we go out to eat, I'm sure you've had
is
that
it
experience.
Fun?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the
well,
word you want?
I think it's fun to watch because it's amazing, you know, because Greg is another guy who's extremely polite to everybody, but for some reason
I've heard him say a couple things.
Goes apeshit on some
people,
of these
waitresses. Yeah. I know it's shock. I told Chick, it's like, I get that same anxiety. Like if I knew that I fucked up at school and my dad was going to come home and it was going to be bad, that's the same anxiety when I go to dinner with Greg. I'm just like, oh God, I'm so tense. And I'm like, oh, please. And so I'm overly nice to the waitress to like counteract his shittiness. And I just,
that's fun.
Yeah. And if it's a pretty girl, especially, I want to be like, Greg, you could potentially like
hook it up,
do something. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he just always, there's just such a,
but I gotta say, he's turned it into some of the greatest. Yeah. Some of those bits that he's got
the
about
material,
it.
Yeah. Sure.
The, you know, well, have you ever eaten here before?
No, but let me take a guess.
Yeah. It is. It's annoying. I remember being on the phone waiting for my burger to show up, and the guy did that whole thing. Have you ever been here before? And what they do is they take you to the burger garden where you're supposed to make your own shit. And I was like, just bring me the burger when I'm here. And I was thinking about Greg's bit, but he's got a whole bunch of them. And then the trainee, you know,
standing right behind the burger.
Yeah.
Got a trainee eater. Mm. Diner.
Yeah, but Greg's great. He lives in New York now. And Augie, man, what a great guy Augie is too. And he lives in LA, so we hang out all the time out there. Yeah.
He's married now, right?
He is to a wonderful girl.
Good.
And we went to his wedding and everything.
Now that wasn't a naked wedding, was it?
No.
You know Doug Stanhope, totally naked wedding.
Oh yeah, and I was at that.
You were at that.
Oh yeah, sure. I performed at it. That was a night.
Were you naked?
No. I went on earlier. Well, the first thing that happens is Ralphie May went on.
Naked?
No.
Oh.
The nakedness happened later.
Is this recently?
No, this is about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
He's not still married to the girl, but they got some crazy guy on the internet, Father Luke, who had a license to marry somebody. Yeah. And so I just remember some of the highlights. Ralphie May went on. And,
you like did stand up at his wedding?
Yeah, it was a big show. It was at a place called Tommy Rockers in Vegas, and Doug was sort of emceeing it. And then you know how Ralphie kind of talks like a ghetto black guy, and Doug goes on right afterward and he goes, "Oh, there's Ralphie May. He really is a lot like a black comic when you think about it. He just went on 25 minutes too long," and that one got a big laugh, and then. And then Sean Rouse went up and a couple other people. And then this guy, Naked Elvis or Extreme Elvis.
Right.
Yeah.
Extreme
who
Elvis.
Who was just, you know, butt naked. And he had a whole horn section, naked people. And by this time, and it was really something because we're in Vegas. So there's old school alcoholics just sitting there drinking their cocktails, guys in their 70s waiting for
17-year-old.
Yeah. So, I remember this one naked female trumpet player that was part of the horn section or whatever comes out into the crowd and starts trying to get everybody to dance. And she's walking around naked in this thing and goes up to one of these old alcoholics. And the guy was so drunk, he's just sitting there looking at his drink. And then all of a sudden, here's this young naked girl trying to get her to dance. And he's just kind of does a double take. Like, what the hell is going on here? The band is naked? All right. But he didn't look that surprised. He just kind of had a big smile on his face. Like, hey, this is fun. And then it eventually got crazy. Doug got naked. Everything, it deteriorated kind of into a big
a naked spiral,
den of iniquity. Yeah. But
he showed me the pictures of it then.
Yeah, there was a lot of pictures on the internet. Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, Henry, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you guys.
Was this fun? Were you
all right? I had a blast, man. Thanks for having me on. I've been hearing about it, and I'm really glad to be a part of it.
Glad you could come back.
Good to see you again.
All right. Good to see you, Henry. We'll see you down the road. Thank you, Jazz.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Jason, was it?
Mm-hmm, that's me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see you next time. Some guests coming up for sure. Nick Griffin. Yes, the one, the only Jimmy Pardo has confirmed he's going to do the show.
Oh, boy.
And plus some others.
You sure we're not just going to be doing his show with him?
Oh, there you go.
Well, maybe. I don't know. No,
he takes over.
Thank you for downloading it off the air, the podcast. Soon coming, the movie and the live show. Good night, everybody.